So I have some data Corona, and this is Anand sitting down here, and we're with SAS. So I haven't attended all the sessions today, but did you hear anything about AI or machine learning in any of the sessions?
No.
Was that mentioned at all?
A couple
times. Great. So if you don't know SAS, so we're an analytics company that are experts in AI and machine learning. And over drinks, you can ask us questions about what the differences are, and then we'll see if we get it right. I think from earlier today, I think I learned that the difference between AI and machine learning was one's in orange and one is orange colored. Is that the difference we heard earlier today? Great. Okay, so today we're going to talk about two use cases from our customers. They're not going to be, well, one is a generalized use case because we've seen it a lot, and then the other one is specific. So talk about our customer stories. One is an OTT use case, and one is reading real-time Twitter feeds from the fire hose. And then Anand will cover the magic behind the scenes of the underlying machine learning and analytics platform that makes this happen. Sound good? Great. So our first case study, should we rehearse maybe?
Yeah.
All right. So our first one was we had a few customers in the last year that have launched a new OTT service. Right? And a lot of these companies, I'm sure you probably know in this room, but a lot of these companies don't even have consumer or user level data. Right? So you look at, okay, I'm going to launch an OTT service, I'm going to do content personalization, I want to engage my customers and users, how do I do that? And so what we've done is look at their OTT service. This is just an example of an OTT service. I just clipped it off online just to give us an example. But what we needed to do was collect all that data. So as people are viewing content, either they're viewing movies or films, maybe they're watching a television series, maybe they're watching Gilligan's Island, right, and they've gotten through a certain number of episodes. And we want to collect all that data in order to better understand our customers and to better engage and market to them. And so as part of the project, or part of the solution is, let's collect all that data and let's put it in a database, right? And the interesting thing that we've seen is the data that does get collected is often in AWS Redshift. And I want to say each one of the projects, that's where they put the data. It doesn't have to be there. But for each one of these separate projects decided, I'm taking all my user data and I'm putting it in Redshift. And then based upon that data, we want to better engage our customers or our users. Some of them may be known, some of them may be anonymous. Some of them maybe want to sign up for a premium service, some of them are happy to watch ads all day. But we wanted to use that data to make sure that they were engaged with our content, they were finding content that is interesting to them, and that they continually use our service. So what we provided was, that's labeled up here, a campaign manager. So the ability to look through all of your data and look at these individual customer and user attributes, look at, use models to help understand likely behavior. Is somebody likely to stop watching Gilligan's Island after the fourth season because they know he's not going to get off the island for at least 5 more years? We need to tell them something interesting. Or we know that they're on episode 2 of 24, and we know they're going to be super engaged. Let's not do anything. Let them enjoy the content and enjoy it as they binge watch. And so that's what the role of campaign management was, is looking at all the data that we have, looking at the analytics, and deciding what should we tell somebody. Should we give them an upsell message to say upgrade to premium? Should we tell them about that really it's season 5 that gets interesting for Gilligan's Island, so I'm done watching season 4? Maybe that's the time to reach out to the person. And also it might just be making other content recommendations. So maybe because of the movies or the films they've watched, or the episodes that they've seen, or the series they've seen, maybe they do want to engage other content. And so again, it's using all the customer data to help better engage with them. So you want to go to the next one? And even in real time, personalizing what somebody sees. So that's, I think that little red box at the bottom is some sort of personalization. But thinking about how someone interacts with our OTT service or our content over time, that's what the middle thing is there, engage. It's looking, what does somebody view? Let's go ahead and test different messages to them and content and maybe times between upsell and cross-sell and try that across multiple channels. And then use analytics to sort of drive those interactions and see what the results are. So that's kind of a really quick, so we only have a half hour today, overview on the OTT side, but it's really about, you know, customer and user level recommendations, both for messages and offers, but also for content and product recommendations. Next slide. Oh, this is just the architecture. So the only thing I'd say is underpinning this is our analytics and machine learning. We can help engage our customers, you know, on an outbound basis for, you know, direct mail, for OTT, but email, in-app messaging, digital channels, and use those to communicate with the customer, but also embed the offers and the messages within the OTT app itself. The other one is really interesting, which is natural language processing for editorial news. So one of our customers is Bloomberg News, and what they wanted to do was use all the live Twitter feeds to understand what is sort of breaking news and what's really trending right now that we can get on top of, and at the same time filter out, you know, fake news and maybe news that they're getting off of social media, and use that to help drive their actual 24/7 editorial newscasts. So next slide. So yes, it's a very busy slide, but on the bottom left it is showing that, you know, as far as the Twitter feed, looking across all the streaming data that's coming in, looking at it, categorizing it, looking at whether or not they think it's legitimate news or fake news or not, looking at the topics, looking at the sentiment, and using that in real time to understand those feeds and those stories and actually feeding that in a nice visual interface to the editorial group. So that then they could see trending topics. And all of a sudden, now I see that this, what was the big thing that, it's Laurel and, the Laurel and Hardy, is that the one?
Yanni,
thank you. So whatever those hot topics are, they would get that topic and say, great, let's go ahead and cut a 20-second editorial on this new exciting topic that is driving, you know, driving viewers, right? So with that, so that's really what we've done. As far as the whole project itself, it was more, you know, start with contextual analytics and use that to get all the data and use machine learning in AI in real time to deliver it. Next slide. This is actually the solution architecture. So you can kind of see at the top left, we would maybe store all the Twitter firehose data, use that to build models around topic discovery, what sort of topics are trending, what is the content itself, categorizing, is it sports, is it politics, is it international, is it local, is it lifestyle, and then looking at the sentiment analysis, and then using all of that learnings that we have and deploying it in real time to apply that to Twitter firehose in real time. So then we've trained the models, are ready to go to understand all of these topics and deploy it on Twitter firehose, get the results, and share that via the visual insights with the editorial analysts so they can actually generate topics and alert some new emerging topics that can actually cover and get more likes and views. Okay? So that stuff is really the easy stuff. It's really the hard stuff behind the scenes on analytics that underpin all the stuff that we do in that.
Actually, this is the boring stuff.
Oh, all right.
Hi, my name is Anand. And I'll talk about the Maya platform. So whatever David was talking about, that's the end result. But achieving that end result requires a careful orchestration of many services and creating an environment where data-driven decisions could be made by an organization. And from a business point of view, business only sees collaboration as a hub of people working together in a collaborative manner. But when it comes to IT, it means completely different thing. It can mean a data scientist collaborating with a domain expert, right? So it's about aligning all of these stars together so that you can enable and facilitate all of these various pieces, and these pieces could be independent tools or could be people coming from different background collaborating together. And that is what SAS Wire Platform enables, and I will talk about that briefly. But before I talk about SAS Wire itself, I want to spend a brief moment about the challenges and the state of analytics that is shaping how businesses are adopting machine learning and AI within their organization. Right? As I said, collaboration is a big one. Everybody wants to collaborate, and collaboration is not only within individuals, it is also with different kinds of point solutions, and there are some phenomenal point solutions that are available out there in form of libraries and in form of languages. Two, consistency. When you're talking about all of these different point solutions, these tools working within different groups within your organization, you need to make sure that it's the same analytical method is applied on the data, you get the same result consistently and repeatedly. It's also not very obvious from the get-go, but all of these processes are creating assets that needs to be governed and managed. And this is something that our organization needs to think about, because if the end result is a model, you need to think about how that model is going to evolve over a period of time, how you're going to version that model, and if something goes bad, do you have the capability to fall back and go back to the model that was known to work? Right. Last but not least, deployment. So how many of you here are actually working with active models that are being deployed in your organization? Show of hands. Okay. So once you get to a level of analytical maturity where you are deploying these models, deployment of model also means various different things to different organizations and different people and different functions. It could very well mean simply a web service that should be created as an endpoint where a software developer can consume the model and score. It could also mean taking that model and deploying it on an edge device. Again, these are some of the things that an IT environment has to think about when they are venturing out into.
It's building that self. I guess it must be time then.
Okay. So we at SAS, we believe there are six forces that are defining the state of analytics today. And I know we're short of time, so I'll go quick. First one is open source. Open source is great. There are so many phenomenal technologies in the shape of tools and libraries like TensorFlow, MXNet, CNTK, when you're talking about cognitive computing. They're phenomenal. Similarly, there are languages, domain-specific languages like R, Python, and Julia. And the whole idea is data scientists are in scarce demand, and they're coming with a tool of their choice that they have learned. And the idea is basically about freedom, freedom to create, experiment, test, and deploy. What they need from organization is a platform that they can tap into and collaborate with people who are not data scientists. And that takes me to the second point. Everybody wants to be a data scientist. And it's not about everybody wants to be a data scientist, it's they're expected to participate, because the best outcomes are outcomes when everybody, a domain expert as well as a data scientist, can collaborate together with a business user. Because data scientists are phenomenal, but they may lack some domain knowledge. And collaboration is the key. And with approachable analytics and the tool sets that are at a higher level than Python and programming environment, there are some phenomenal tools available where a domain expert can add phenomenal values that can be consumed by a data scientist to encode it in a model that can be deployed. The last four points are basically intermingled together. Machine learning is definitely not a buzzword. Organization needs to think about what are the processes that they can automate. If not all, at least most of the processes can be automated. And depending upon what processes that they're trying to automate will dictate also the changing landscape of their data environment. Because it's no longer about tabular and textual data. It can be image for image recognition, it can be text for natural language processing, audio, as well as structured and unstructured data that you are already aware of. Okay, I'll quickly quit. Analytics of things is again something that you should think about, and that is all about an extension of the big data movement. We realize that our cell phones and edge devices are data sources. Now it's all about moving your analytics to these edge devices so that you can apply intelligence at the motion, at the edge, and move back data, only data that is relevant to the business.
Thanks. Okay, yeah, that's good. You can deliver.
So from a SaaS wire platform, SaaS wire is a platform which is open and which is extensible. And it looks at the entire problem in a sense of analytical life cycle, which begins with data to discovery and to deployment. And you should think of this as a glue that can connect all of your business processes together so that you can build a complete end-to-end machine learning pipeline where people and tools of different skills and different kinds can interact together and take your pipeline from just raw data to some kind of actionable insight. So all of the screenshots that you're seeing here are screenshots of actual tools that are part of SaaS Wire platform. And with data, it starts with data integration, and that is ability to tap into the data sources that you have, be it on cloud or on premises, and providing you with the interfaces so that you can integrate data, you can create nice analytical base tables that can be worked upon. And not only that, from an IT governance perspective, make sure that the right data is accessible to the right individual. Right. And second comes the magic of SaaS, which is discovery. And discovery again means various different things. It can be exploratory data analysis, which is just looking at the data, getting integrated with the data, identifying things that may look different. And everybody can participate here who understands the data or who understands the business. And these tools are part of our approachable analytics where you don't need to be a coder in order to explore the data. Secondly, machine learning is not only about building logistic regressions. It's pretty wide now where you can be forecasting, you can be building models, you can be performing natural language processing, or you can be doing just simple statistical analysis. SaaS Wire platform provides all of these tools and covers the entire breadth, all the way from data discovery to operations research. And this is the last part, is the trickiest part, and that is, okay, now I understand my data, I know what kind of models to build, maybe I have a simplistic model that I have built, but how do I deploy it? What does deployment even mean? I know of many organizations where there are dedicated teams of software engineers that would recode the models in a low-level language that can be operationalized. Nothing wrong with that. They are high performance. But the time to get from point A to point B is pretty slow and pretty challenging. With SaaS Wire, the ability to operationalize a model is at the hands of the analyst who can just right-click at the right place and operationalize a model. And by operationalizing, you will automatically get a web service that will have an endpoint that can be consumed readily by software developers that are developing on top of those models. Or you can download a scorecard and deploy it on edge devices if that is what you want. Last but not least, you can also take the same models and score your data sets in a traditional manner where the data sets are static and you can just push down the score code and score the entire data sets. Last but not least, it's not only operationalization of the model, it is also tracking the model. Once you have deployed the model over a period of time, models would start degrading. You may want to blend the models with your business logic.
And those are the capabilities that SaaSWire provides so that you can monitor your models, you can retrain your models, or you can blend your models with your business rules. Now, so far I was talking about completely about approachable analytics, something which is like self-service environment where there is a nice graphic user interface. But all of the capabilities that I have talked about are exposed to multiple different languages via API. So there is a Python API, there is a R API library, and there is a SAS language, SAS as a language itself as well. So you, whatever we can do in a program, in a graphical environment can be performed using the tool of your choice, be it Jupyter Notebooks or RStudios. In fact, all of the tools that David was talking about, the solution that David was talking about, are utilizing the same RESTful interfaces that are used by our graphical user interfaces as well. Any Python or R coders here? Okay, so SAS Wire decouples SAS language from Wire the platform. SAS language is one of the language that we can understand. We also understand many different languages like R and Python. So any table that is materialized in SAS, a SAS table, will be visible to you as a R data frame, data table, or Pandas data frame. After the talk, I'll be happy to talk about how we can integrate with R and Python. And next. So this is a SAS Wire platform at a high level, one click. All of the capabilities that we have talked about are implemented in a cloud-native manner using microservices. And what that means is there are a bunch of services, in fact, more than 100 services that can be deployed on a single instance or a single server or across multiple servers. And what that means is either you get high performance or high availability as you distribute the compute across multiple machines. It is an in-memory architecture and it is highly parallel. The idea is there should be only one single code base to execute your analytics, irrespective of the end tool from where the commands are being sent. Two, since it is completely written using microservices, it can be deployed on-prem as well as on cloud or any of the clouds. Of course, you get all of the data connectors where data can be in-stream data. Data can be tapped from your big data platforms like Hadoop or Teradata or traditional relational databases. And on the right are the APIs that we expose, that we use for our solutions, as well as for the libraries that we are providing for our SAS and Python. So again, to close it, the whole idea is the same data is processed by a single engine, which is tapped by different kinds of endpoints, be it data preparation, data discovery, model building using programmatic interfaces, or using approachable analytics. And what that gets you is, number one, when you're talking about these large scale model building exercises, the last thing that you want to do is move data around. And two, you want consistency. The same data is being computed by the same code base. So you get consistent result, be it for a business user, analyst, or a data scientist. Questions?
I have a question. So for example, you have like TensorFlow, right? Mm-hmm. Which is really good, right? But Google, you can do all the things, right? So is that why, like say, from AI perspective, it's really like on the deep learning, right? The neural network. So you guys have, you know, your own basically neural network algorithm where you can accommodate, like say, TensorFlow type of, you know,
So our deep learning capabilities are in infancy, yes.
But today, for example, we can import models from Caffe. So the overall vision is that you should be able to train models in the libraries that you have been using. And once you have your neural networks, we should be able to import them. As a first step, Caffe models are supported. And I do not know if you are following the trend of ONNX, Onyx, which is Open Neural Network Exchange. Facebook, Microsoft, Amazon, they are all part of the consortium. And the whole idea is, why should we waste so much compute on retraining the models over and over again, if only we can share or create an interchangeable format of models that can be consumed through TensorFlow, MXNet, CNTKs, and all of the libraries. So the idea is, once ONNX, which is moving pretty fast, gets mature, we should be able to import those models as well.
Other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.